Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know if it has caught up with you or not, but dawned on me this time around, assigned to this reading, that the Gospel of Mark seems a particularly appropriate gospel for doing right by Advent. Because, in contrast to the other synoptics, Mark has an Advent unattached to the familiarities of the Christmas story. And in fact, Mark really begins it right. He traces Advent, the coming of the gospel of Jesus Christ to more than just a four-week period, like we're accustomed to. He takes it, in fact, all the way back to Isaiah, Malachi, and a good ways beyond that. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, different translation. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. What caught my attention in this reading is what I think is kind of a low-key insert there. In the desert. A voice calling in the desert. Scripture, when it talks about the desert places, more often than not describes them as kind of barren, forbidding places, a place where, as Yahweh says in the book of Job, no human lives. That's pretty foreboding. A place where, a little further down in the book of Job, you have the wild ass described as the one at home in those kind of desert places, and from those desert places, he looks at the world of human beings, and he lifts up his head, and he shrieks, and he snorts, and he chortles at all the silliness that goes on in the human world. But that's just not the world for human beings. And not surprisingly, therefore, the desert is the kind of place where the devil catches up with Jesus, tracks him down, you figure, and takes his initial shot at derailing the Lord from the road that leads to the cross. Not a good place. And yet it is in the desert, I figure also into the desert, that this voice, this Advent voice, this thing that's moving history forward, that's preparing for something big, it's in the desert that this voice is calling. A little sidebar. Got a little difference between the Septuagint, between the Greek Old Testament and the Hebrew. Question is where the in the desert fits, whether it's the voice that calls in the desert or whether it's the voice that calls in the desert prepare the way. I figure either way we're in the desert and we don't need to bother with that any further. And in fact, the desert makes a good, almost I guess, metaphor for that kind of life. It lives pretty much barren. You probably caught the headlines from last week about 530 or whatever thousand people without jobs suddenly. Today's paper, Anheuser-Busch, 1,400. A few pages down further, Dow Chemical, not necessarily here in St. Louis, 5,000 people, Merry Christmas. Life sometimes can be lived in a pretty barren area, like in the desert. I had a son-in-law, have a son-in-law, he's still there. Computer whiz. Works in Silicon Valley and way beyond anything I understand about that electronic stuff. He didn't get caught this time, but a few years ago he did. And same thing a few weeks before Christmas. Laid off, and makes for a funny Christmas. And he worked his way through unemployment benefits. I don't know how many months that was. And then he didn't even have that, and really lived a whole year with mortgage and with family and a couple kids. Life is tough. Multiply that by 500 and add them all up, at least 40,000 people. Life in the desert. Jobless. Very little in the way of income. Mortgages due, though. Credit card bills due. Easy out for distraction is alcohol or drugs or despair or abuse or fear or shame. Add to that accidents and illness and life in the desert. It's around us. It's not confined to desert areas. It's in the city. It's in the burbs. It's in rural areas of pretty solid people. It's in places of affluence, in places of stability like we assume here at Concordia Seminary. Life in the desert. It's tough. Because you really do feel like it's a place where no human lives. And not only that, it's almost, you feel like maybe it's not a place where God's much at home either. And therefore, it is all the more significant, isn't it, that at the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Mark phrases it, we have this voice coming in the wilderness, into the wilderness. God moving into a world that just isn't working so good on its own terms. God is on the move, just as he was back in the wilderness of the Exodus. And it took 40 years, but the Lord pulled him through and, in fact, held them together while they were there, yeah? And in the exile, and that took 70 years, and the Lord brought them back and cared for them. The Lord is coming. And a voice is calling, and it's a mixed voice, and yet it's all one voice. It's Elijah, and it's Isaiah, and it's Malachi, and it's John the Baptist, and a whole string of voices that through the history of God's dealing with this world keeps on calling. Can you hear me now? Yeah, even in the desert, especially in the desert. Because if the Lord's there, it's not the God-forsaken place that we figure it is. Whether it's the desert inside of us or the desert around us. In fact, it's the kind of place the Lord himself turned to, right? Retreated to for prayer and for quiet. It's not a place the Lord is a stranger in. Prepare is John's word. Get ready, because it's coming, and it's big, and it's going to happen. Prepare. Now, part of it is repentance for ways that we desertify, if that's a word, our own life and complicate it or turn a closed eye to the desert around us. Repentance that leads to, but is also prompted by, forgiveness. A preparation which also allows the Lord to incorporate our voice into that big cosmic, persistent, communal, una-sanctific voice that comes from God and continues to call into the desert. Those folks in the desert, how will they hear? A voice. Including our voice. God's voice. Emmanuel, God with us right here in the desert for the long haul into eternity. Can you hear me now?